Earlier with us today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and I would encourage you to get your Bibles out and an insert if you have one of those. I wanted to start off with a couple comments. First of all, we will be receiving an offering at the end of the service that will directly go to CareNet of Wayne County. So if you'd like to plan for that, you can do that. And if you weren't prepared for that, you can still give me next week if you'd like, and we'll make sure that gets directed to that ministry. And also, as we kind of celebrate, as many churches are doing today, we celebrate in a couple different ways, and maybe celebrate's not the best word, but we're going to talk about the fact that we pause as a church, as many are doing today, to remember not only the loss, but also to remember life as God has designed for us. And I want to challenge you, because I know a lot of you, or maybe many of you, are on things like social media and using emails and those kind of things, and I understand that's great, but sometimes when it gets to the topic of abortion or things even about life, that as Christians we can become just kind of antagonistic and attack people. And I'm all for standing up for life, but this morning maybe you can take some of the things that we talk about and use them in a very positive way to challenge people about life, because we want to be biblical, we want to be scriptural, we want to be compassionate as we stand up for life, but I want people to be thinking about life, not thinking about the fight. Too often it's just about the fight and not really about the truth. And so let's be careful with that as we kind of work our way through. And Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is not just about valuing babies, it's about valuing life in general. And that's really important for us to understand. And I'm pro-life, I really am, not just because I value the preborn and babies and that kind of things. I'm pro-life because God likes life. I mean, he created this whole thing. And so God is pro-life. That should be the same for all of us. And so I want to take you on a little bit of a journey. We won't spend as much time as we normally do, but I want you to just kind of engage with me as we begin to talk about what I call life principles. These are things that we find in Scripture that really talk about life. And the first one is found way back in the beginning. So if you have your Bible or a pew Bible, real easy today. Didn't even put it on the screen. Page 1. And if yours is like you have the index and all that is page 1, I apologize. But if you can find Genesis 1 in your Bibles, that would be great. Here's the first life principle. Ready? Life itself was God's idea. It's God's idea about life. Isn't that great? Joe, isn't that great? The rest of them don't agree with me. Life itself was God's idea. And this is a big deal. I'm not going to get into the nuances and the debate about things like evolution today, but I just want you to know that's a bunch of garbage. Yes, it is. Because if you buy into evolution and that this was some kind of random thing with time and chance and scientific goo, then you're saying life wasn't God's idea. It was God's idea. He started the whole thing. It's incredible. Genesis 1:1. You should memorize this verse. It's an easy one. In the beginning, who? It doesn't say in the beginning, goo. It says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you won't see this in your English text, but in the Hebrew, it's the word creation ex nihilo. And I'm not a Hebrew expert. That's what it is. Creation ex nihilo. It's a Latin term that means this: from nothing. So God created life from nothing. We say, who can do that? Only God can. Not the Big Bang theory, not time and space and things floating on a pond or some atoms that randomly hit each other. I'm sorry. Life began with God. Prior to that moment of Genesis 1:1, there was no life as we know it. But God said, from nothing I will create. And in the following verses of Genesis 1, we read about things like the creation of light and trees and plants and the sun. I see it today. Isn't it wonderful? The moon, the stars, water animals, and land animals. And then take your eyes to verse 27 of that same chapter, probably still on page 1. Genesis chapter 1, turn 1 and verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So God, folks, I'm just here to tell you, God created human life. And it says in the scripture that humans, us, we're the crown jewel of creation. God made some really cool things. The universe, and all these different weird animals. And if you watch those shows, it's really kind of cool. And all the things that we have, and the sun, the moon, the stars, those are really cool things. But the Bible says that we are the crown jewel of God's creation because we are made in His image. We are made in God's image. It's called Imago Dei. Imago Dei, being made in the image of God. How do I know that we are the crown jewel? Well, human life is the only form of life that God chose to give a soul to. That God said, I will give you emotions, intellect, and will. I will fellowship with you. I will redeem you from your sin, and I will adopt you into my family. Only human beings. Isn't that great? So God, he was the one who came up with the idea of life itself. And then at the end of that chapter, verse 31, God saw all that He had made, and it was okay. It was not just good, it was very good. So when you think about interacting with people about things like abortion and about life and even things like euthanasia and those kind of things, just keep in mind, in a very positive way, just say to them, listen, why are you so passionate about life? Because God is. It was His idea. That's where you start. Life was God's idea. And He made us in His image. It was God's idea. Here's a second life principle. Since God came up with the idea of life, we need to understand that taking of a life is serious to God. Taking of a life is serious to God. In our fallen world, the taking of a life takes many forms. Abortion would be one. Ethnic cleansing happens around the world. Religious persecution and death by violence are just a few examples of ways that we take life in our fallen society, in our sinful society. And I think sometimes as Christians, we're being accused of saying, well, God takes life seriously, and when we take a life, He takes it seriously as well. And that's, you people are just talking about the law, and sometimes people will say to you, well, that's just in your Old Testament. That's in the Ten Commandments. Live in today. I want you to know that God taking life seriously is found throughout the Bible. It's not just a law thing. And why would I even introduce this to you? Because I want you to have intelligent, engaging conversations with people. Oh, you're just quoting those commandments again. No, it's not just that. Follow with me, and I'm not asking you to turn there, but it'll be up on the screen. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. The scripture says this, whoever sheds human blood, by human shall their blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made mankind. And I put in parentheses there, that's a pre-law verse. That's before the Ten Commandments. Way back. You with me? So this is way back. And then in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 12, as part of the law, it says, anyone who strikes a person with a fatal blow is to be put to death. So far, do you think God takes the taking of life pretty seriously? The answer is yes. But we're in the Old Testament. Do I need to change the clothing I'm wearing? And I can't have pork for lunch. And what's going on here? What's the deal? Well, follow with me. Matthew chapter 5, New Testament, new time period. Jesus Christ says this. You have heard it said, it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. This is after the law, the New Testament, the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not come to abolish the law, it says, but to fulfill it. So He was saying to the people, listen, God values life, and we should not be taking life. And we take life, it has serious consequences, and it brings consequences. So why would we be passionate about things like sanctity of human life? Because it's important to God. And last time I checked, a lot of you in this room, if it's important to God, it's important to you. And way too many Christians, and I believe our church does a good job with not being like this, but way too many Christians think they know what God is concerned about, but He's not really. He's concerned about whether you're wearing an earring or not. Not really. How long your hair might be, or whether you have a tattoo on your arm. I gotta tell you, folks, wow, He's got other things to worry about. Whether you have Baptist in your name or you don't, or whether it's on your sign or what translation you brought into church today, God doesn't really care. But He cares about life, and He cares about when life is taken. He really does. So we have to be mindful of this. And I want to just bring you a little bit further along, because I want to challenge us to be thinking and be compassionate with people and to be able to come alongside people. Because I think for the most part, you would agree with me that that murder is wrong, and God kind of takes a very dim view of taking a life. You with me on that? But what about things like assisted suicide and suicide? Well, I want to say that there's nowhere in Scripture that says those two things are the unpardonable sin. You will not find a verse that says either one of those is the unpardonable sin. But I will say this, they do run in opposition to God's sovereignty over life and death. God is the sovereign God, and He alone is sovereign over when and how a person's death should occur. We have to keep that in mind, because taking of a life is serious to God. Let me give you a couple examples from Scripture. Job said this about God: I know you, God, will bring me down to earth to the place appointed for all the living. So Job was not saying in fear of God that God was going to take him out. He just knew that God is the one who decides when our time is up. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, as no one has power over the wind to contain it, so no one has the power over the time of their death. Now, this doesn't say that you can't take your life or take someone else's life or help them to take their life. It's not saying you don't have the power. It's saying we shouldn't exercise that power because it is God's. Because taking of a life is serious to Him. Let me just say this, and maybe you want to write it down or just think about it and just kind of store it. We should never seek to prematurely end a life, even our own. And it's not that is not being stated in a scolding way. It's being stated in the fact that God loves life. And that to Him, taking of a life is a serious matter, and God wants us to celebrate life. Third life principle, and I'm so thankful the Bible teaches this, life is valuable to God no matter what its condition might be. Life is valuable to God no matter what its condition might be. Handicapped, disabled, disadvantaged, terminally ill, those with developmental limitations, aging issues. Aren't we thankful that these and other challenges people face in our fallen world do not devalue them before God? The Bible teaches that. Life is valuable to God no matter what condition we find ourselves in, or we find other people in. And that is encouraging to me. The book of Exodus gives us a little glimpse into this. Some of you have heard of Moses. Okay, and Moses was at a point in his life where God was getting ready to ask him to lead the people out of Egypt. And Moses wasn't too sure about that. He had some limitations in his mind. So he thought he could bargain with God or talk God out of the assignment. That never works well, as Andrea said. Okay, you try to talk God out of the assignment, it doesn't work. She had to speak today. So Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant. That's just a nice way of saying, here it comes, but I want to be respectful. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. So Moses might have had a speech impediment. God, I can't do this. I can't go in front of Pharaoh and represent you people, your people. It's not going to happen, God. You need to find somebody out. I have not been good at this in the past. I'm not good at it now. I'm out. Okay, Moses, you're right. Wrong. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Rhetorical question. Moses did not answer. Unlike some of you like to answer my rhetorical questions, but Moses didn't answer. Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? God's purpose, His design for His glory. Not a mistake, not something to be discarded, valued by God. Isn't it amazing? Then in John chapter 9, Jesus was interacting with His disciples and always took time to have a teaching moment with them because they needed them. It says, as He went along, He saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked Him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Very superstitious culture. They thought somebody had sinned and that this person had been punished, or there was some, you know, bad luck in the family. Who sinned? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. right? If you've been here for any length of time, we have a little walking miracle around here. Benji is a walking miracle. We weren't sure he was going to survive before the Butlers moved into our area, and he still faces challenges. But life is valuable to God no matter what conditions it's in. And man, I'm telling you what, he books around now. Wow. Please don't open the door for him. Right? Don't, especially not an outside door. Because he's gone. And by the way, you try to call him back, he's not going to give you the time of day. Freedom! God is sovereign over the conditions of people. Their lives have value no matter how the world may define value. There was a professor in a world-acclaimed medical school who once posed this medical situation and ethical problem to his students. He said, here's the family history. The father has syphilis. The mother has TB. They've already had 4 children. The first is blind. The second has died. The third is deaf. The fourth has TB. Now, the mother is pregnant again. The parents come to you for advice. They are willing to have an abortion if you decide they should. What do you say? The students gave various individual opinions, and then the professor asked them to break into small groups for consultation. All of the groups came back to report that they would recommend abortion. The professor looked at the groups and said, "Congratulations. You just took the life of Beethoven." Life is valuable to God no matter what condition it might be in. Number 4, fourth life principle. God regards all seasons of life. That word regards means takes notice of or shows attention to all seasons of life. And we should be thankful for that. I know we may not be thankful to the season that you're entering. I just had a birthday. I just hate it when I have to move my, you know, the box you check on the visitor card. I hate that when you have to move that. Oh, man. But I'm thankful that God regards all seasons of life. Because not everybody does. Some of you, if we were to assign you to the nursery, you would just not come here ever again. You're like, no, I'm good. If some of you are like, hey, do you want to work in youth group with the teenagers? People seize up, they get like, their throat starts closing. Really? Or some of you, hey, you want to work with some older people or go to a nursing home? What? So let's be honest, we have our struggles, right? Come on. Aren't you glad that God regards all seasons of life? He pays attention, he notices all seasons of life in a positive way. Psalm 139:13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Preborn babies, God regards them? Yes or no? Absolutely. Psalm 127 verse 3, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward for him. Does God regard children? Yes, even grandchildren. Rick, I snuck a couple pictures in. Oh, hey, there's Lila. Have one more. There we go. Thanks. I just had to put that in there. God regards all seasons of life. And then Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29. That was my granddaughter, by the way. I'm just saying, teaching you to get that. Proverbs 20 and verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength. God regards young men. Gray hair is the splendor of the old. And even thinning hair, it's the other translation of that. God regards all seasons of life. He celebrates the life in all different seasons. Does God regard preborn babies? Yes. Babies? Yes. Young people? Yes. Teenagers? Yes. Middle-aged people? Yes. Older people? People that older than older people? Yes. God regards all seasons of life. Isn't that great? That's what human life is all about. And then last life principle as we move along. This is probably the most important because it impacts every single person in this room. God's redemptive plan was to give a life to save lives. God's redemptive plan was to give a life to save lives. Since God valued you and me, he was willing to give a life to save lives. Why would he do that? You see, isn't that like a contradiction? To give a life, to save a life? No, because the life wasn't taken, it was given. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And then in John chapter 10, maybe you've never read this verse before. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking about giving his life. He says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again." This command, this idea, this thought, this redemptive plan came from who? The Father. So people, I want you to know, they didn't take Jesus' life. He gave it so you and I could have life. He celebrates that. Philip Yancey has this quote I want to share with you because you might not be able to read it behind me, but we'll put it up there. He says this, "Love was compressed for all history in that lonely figure on the cross who said that he could call down angels at any moment on a rescue mission but chose not to because of us. At Calvary, God accepted his own unbreakable terms of justice. I will give a life to save lives." Because God celebrates that. So these life principles, just a few positive things, are really of no lasting value unless we do something with them. Do you agree with me? Marty does, and Kim. Okay, so the rest of you just along for the ride. These are just words unless we do something with them. So quickly, ready? Here's some life applications. Fill these in, do something about it. First of all, choose to protect the unborn. If you agree that God celebrates life, then choose to protect the unborn. On the back of your bulletin, there's a list of lots of different ways that you can get involved. You can get involved through your politicians, different ways that you can get involved to help protect the unborn. Different ways you can get involved in CareNet. Andrea mentioned this. We actually started a few weeks ago. We started early with the baby bottles. You probably don't care, right? It's okay with that. You take a baby bottle or two or four. Fill it up with change. You're like, "I don't have any change." Write a check. Yes, you heard me say, "I don't have any change." Write a check. CareNet of Wayne County. They will cash your check. They'll take your cash. They won't take your credit card because it won't fit in the bottle. You take coins, cash, or check. Three C's. They'll take any of those to help support and protect the unborn. You can volunteer lots of different things. That's one way to put your words into action. Number two, choose to support the options. This church has been such a blessing to me and encouragement to me, the way that you support the options. We've had families that have been involved in foster care and continue to do that. We have families who have kids who are adopted, people that have adopted kids, and we have people that are in the process of trying to go through adoption right now. It's great. And maybe you don't know this, but we have an adoption fund that we started a few years ago to help assist parents in that journey of adoption. It's a way that you can do that. So, you know, just good job to the church here. Keep doing that. Number three, choose to respect all walks of life. It's a way that you can put this into practice. I've never had to do this, and I hope I never have to do this. If, let's say, I'm following you into Wegmans, and I know that you're not handicapped, and you park in one of their spaces, we're going to have a sanctification moment. Don't park there. "Well, my wife wanted to get close." "Well, you just bring her right up on the curb. Drop her off and go park," right? Why would we do that? Because, well, I'm actually a law keeper, as you know, by the way I drive. But I'm just saying, it's not just about that. It's respecting all walks of life. Respect the elderly. Take care of people when you can. And as you're dealing with aging parents, you do what you can, the best you can. Why do you do that? Because you're family and you respect life. And when you have those moments in a grocery store or some other store where your children or grandchildren get to interact with maybe somebody who has special needs, that's a teachable moment. I'm not saying they're not going to look, because they're going to be curious, but you just talk to them. You know, don't just like, "Oh, look away, walk away, because I don't know what to do." No, just use those moments to respect life, teachable moments, honor and respect. There's one last way that you and I can really celebrate the life principles. Share the gospel. Andrea and I did not confer before she came this morning, but I think she said that one of the most powerful ways to become pro-life is to lead people to Jesus. I think that's what she said. And when you help people to understand what Jesus did for them, they will respect life more. So we share the gospel. We share the gospel. I want to close with a letter. It's not a letter, it's just some comments that my wife wrote 12 years ago, I'm updating it, just the time frame, to 2018. So here's it, and it's in small print, as you can imagine. So here we go. For many in the world today, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is really no different than any other Sunday. It's not because they don't believe in it, but perhaps they haven't come face to face with someone who didn't choose life. Perhaps the birth of a child seems so common and everyday that they haven't given much thought to the millions who give birth and then have to make another choice, the choice of adoption. This day holds significance to our family because of two young girls. About 23 years ago, a young 16-year-old unwed teenage girl became pregnant. Because of her faith in God and also her great love for her unborn child, she knew there was no choice to be made here. She would carry the baby and give it up for adoption. She chose life, yet chose not to nurture the life on her own. She wanted so much for her baby and knew the best for him would be to be raised by a mom and a dad who knew and loved God. She made a huge sacrifice. About a year later, another young unwed teenage girl, 15 years old, became pregnant. She faced the same decision, yet she chose differently. She did not choose life. This same girl, 3 years later, became pregnant again. And for a reason known only by God in heaven, this time she chose life. She determined in her heart to carry this baby, to give it life, but also knew she could not raise her baby alone. She loved her too much to offer her less. She wanted her to have a family, mom and dad, something she could not offer. This time she chose life. Had it not been for these two girls and the choice of life for their unborn babies, our family would not be complete. Eric and Bethany are both living proof of the sanctity of life. Their birth mothers chose life for them and in a way for us. Choosing life is not only choosing life for the unborn baby, it's also allowing a life to be offered to the empty arms of a childless couple. The actions of both these girls are seemingly irresponsible, but the decision they both made is perhaps the most responsible decision they may have ever made in their whole lives. Perhaps you will view this day differently now, or maybe it just reinforces the beliefs you already have. Life is sacred. Children are a heritage from the Lord, no matter how they come. I'm going to ask Joe to lead us as we take an offering and bless Karenette of Wayne County.